So, Tom, 99 and feeling fine.
We got 99 problems, but the podcast ain't one.
Booyah, Tom Matt Attack. God, I wish I'd come up with that joke. So obvious. I've made that joke so many times on the podcast, but not in reference to our podcast. Fuck, I'm just going to go home.
I came up with that last week after leaving yours after recorded 98.
Oh, God damn
and
it.
And I totally forgot about it until you reminded
Tom
me.
Tom Parry, bravo. Take the rest of the week off.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go home. It's been Tom Matt Attack. Find us on Facebook. No. How are you? You all right?
I'm very well. Thank you, Matthew. It's nice. Another nice long weekend for us.
Yes.
Been taking it leisurely.
The start of my vacation as well. So
are you off for work next week?
I am. I'm in first thing Tuesday morning, and then, alas, I will be off for 2 weeks. Be good.
Two whole weeks. That's your summer vacation.
No, this is a vacation. It's not my summer vacation, but I'm not going to be off in July. So, yeah, pretty much.
You're off in August.
Maybe.
Well, who needs to know about when Matt Boyle isn't at work?
Dedicated podcast listeners, so they can go, when should I not subscribe to this podcast? Yeah, there won't be an episode next week. We'll tell you that up front. Episode 100, the big shebang, will
be
delayed.
We'll have to keep you waiting for that.
We will, yeah. We'll tease you. Give us some time to come up with something.
Next week. I can't do it the week after either.
Oh, shit the bed. Well, we can plan something special then, if we've got time to prepare.
We're going to plan something very special for you. Oh, that's a bit of a down to start the podcast on. So we've got to make this one really good.
Yes.
This has got to last 2 weeks.
Oh, God. I apologise in advance. Yeah, so how's your week in gaming been, Thomas?
Week in gaming. Pretty good. Looking at this list here that
you've
I've drawn up.
Pretty damn...
Bought and played list is pretty comprehensive this week.
My bought list is very comprehensive this week.
Really?
And I'll also mention something I've shown you, but I'm in the process of buying.
Yeah. It scares me to look at a list like this. But then I feel slightly better when I look at some of the prices I paid. I'm collecting Worms games at the minute.
Wow, you got bored of Lemmings.
Well, I collected everything I wanted.
Yeah? You've got Lemmings to the Tribe on Game Boy Boxed?
No, I didn't want that.
Got Lemmings 2 of the Tribes, the unreleased game that someone's so kindly put on a Master System cartridge?
No, I ain't got that either. But I have got Lemmings 2 Tribes for the Super Nintendo.
Okay. Did you pick up a Super Scope so you can shoot those Lemmings and Lemmings 2 of the Tribes
maybe
for the Super Nintendo?
£6.70. That's these prices all including post-it.
Are these boxed as well?
No, this isn't
boxed.
This
is a cartridge.
This is just so I can play a version of Lemmings 2 with a mouse on my TV.
And a Super Scope, if you so chose.
I do have it for the Amiga, but the load times on the Amiga are quite crippling.
Yes.
From what I remember, anyway. So be able to play this on the Super Nintendo with the Super Nintendo mouse. Yeah.
It's good.
Good prospect.
You can dust off that peripheral that, to my knowledge...
I used it recently with Mario and Wario, the puzzle game.
Oh yeah, you bought that, didn't you? Only remember using it, I want to say, with Mario Paint, but I also believe I used it with SimCity. I can't confirm or deny that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So yeah, but Worms games, I purchased quite a few here. Let's start from Worms on the Game Boy, boxed, £6.
It's all right.
Worms on the Game Boy Color. Sorry, Worms Armageddon. £3.46.
That's pretty good.
Boxed. Three Worms games to PS1 for £9.95. This was Worms,
Armageddon,
and World Party.
Yes.
All boxed, complete. Worms Battle Islands for the Wii.
Yeah.
Worms Battle Islands for the PSP on digital download.
Okay.
Worms Armageddon. Worms 2 Armageddon for the PS3.
Right.
And that is it at present for Worms games, at least.
So, when I look at your bought list, and to paint a picture with words for those at home, Tom has an A5 sketchbook in front of him, and there's a whole bought list, like, down this entire sheet of A5 paper. 99% of that list is Worms games. And, if I'm not mistaken, at least one or two of the same Worms game, just different versions on different consoles.
Yeah, that's true.
Good job, Tom.
Thank you. I don't know. What's up with me?
I don't know. Like,
I get into one thing and I just get into it. But I think Worms and Lemmings come hand in hand. You get into one, the other one's surely going to follow soon. Yeah.
There's a Team 17 connection running through both.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm bidding on a box copy of Worms 2, big box. Never owned it. Always been quite curious about Worms 2. I played it once at school.
What's it on?
PC.
PC, just
yeah,
PC.
Windows, yeah.
Okay. I skipped it. I went to Armageddon.
Yeah, that's the one I got, Armageddon, for the PC. But Worms 2, I played it at school in an IT class. Our teacher brought it in. I remember quite vividly, everyone's trying to decide who was going to play Worms. And I was about the only one there who, you know, had played Worms or was reasonably good at it. But they all voted for this boy called Paul Woodvine to play it because he was kind of popular with the ladies and stuff. But he was a bit of... He was all right. He never did anything wrong by me.
Okay.
But he got to play Worms 2 and I didn't. And I watched as he struggled through it and I wouldn't have done that. It was a painful experience.
Yeah.
But I would have showed him. I would have shown him, Matt.
You beat your teacher, excelled the popularity of the girls, and gone, hey, look at Tommy, can play Worms 2.
My life could have been totally different if I'd have played that game of Worms 2. I would have become incredibly popular with the ladies. Yeah. But then I wouldn't be where I am now. So it was destiny.
It was. And like the game, we just saw some Destiny news that there's an exclusive area if you beat a lot of a new game mode. That excites me about as much as watching paint dry.
You've given up on Destiny.
I gave up on Destiny a long time ago. My destiny was not to play that game ever again, and I chose to follow that path.
I can't play Destiny because I've got it on the 360.
You
and
have.
I've not got it that here, so...
It's a shame you could play with people on the Xbox One.
I couldn't.
You could.
It doesn't work.
Doesn't it? Oh, no. It's just a character that crosses over.
It's not a thing, Matt.
Shit.
I thought it was when I bought it as well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Ah, well. Worms games. Worms Battle Islands. Now, I got this for PSP and for the Wii. This is a really interesting one. It looks like kind of like a sequel to Worms A Space Oddity, which was a Wii exclusive.
Okay.
That added some motion controls to the game.
Do you own that?
Bidding on it.
Okay.
But the graphical style of both Battle Islands and the Space Oddity is really nice, actually. They're kind of pseudo 3D, the worms are. They're not rendered in 3D, they just look 3D and they move round. Say if you use a jetpack, you can see it from different angles.
Okay.
And the jetpack looks totally different. It's huge and there's a lot of character in these worm designs. That, as far as I know, they're only featured in these two versions of worms.
Okay.
And Battle Island seems like a pretty true to classic Worms as you can get for Wii. And I didn't actually know it was available on Wii.
Yeah.
I'd actually forgotten about it until I saw it on sale on the Vita store, the PSP version. So.
Yeah.
So looking forward very much to that. What else did I get? Angry Birds Star Wars for the Vita I picked up for £4.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, but it's a bit finicky.
Really?
Actually. You can play it a number of ways. You can play it with a stick. You can play it with the back touchpad, and the touchscreen. I can't decide which one to use. I'm like, sometimes I thought it was going wrong because when I was holding it, I was accidentally touching the back. You can't turn one off.
Oh, shit.
So you've got to be careful what you do there. Or you can hold it and use a touchscreen, or then you can use a stick.
If you don't really hold the Vita like that.
You can hold it like that and use it.
Yeah.
That's why it's got the back control, I suppose.
Yeah.
But more often than not, it's probably more...
I wish they decided and had like a, hey, use one or the other of these. But even when I use the stick, I tend to rest my hands on the back, which has come a cropper sometimes when playing Vita games.
But it kind of, to me, it seemed like it's just kind of bugged up at times and I couldn't do what I wanted to do, pull the...
Bird slingshot back.
And I just couldn't do it. And I got so frustrated in the end, I turned it off. Also, the restart button, which should be easy, just press the restart button in the top left-hand corner and you restart level. You have to do it a lot in Angry Birds, especially on the tough ones. And sometimes that just didn't work. So I had to play through the whole thing, the game over screen.
Ugh.
And I just thought it was pretty messed up.
That sounds pretty shit.
Yeah. So that's my experience with Angry Birds Star Wars for the Vita. I might as well just stick to playing the free version on my phone.
That's a shame.
I thought, Vita, bigger screen, great. You know, my phone, I don't like playing stuff on it because it's always slow and never really works very well. But, yeah, that's a sad story, isn't it?
It is.
I
What happened to like optimism on this podcast? Like starting it with a down note. Come on, give us something good.
Loco Roco on the PSP.
Okay, it's a good game. I like it.
Good game. I do own it, a physical copy, but it was one of my UMDs that fell apart.
Yes, as happens with UMDs.
And I glued it back together, and it works, but I fear that one day it'll fall apart again.
Probably.
Because it's still a bit flimsy.
Yeah.
So I thought at the price of about £2.50, it was worth getting a digital version of Loco Roco, because it's a game I play through to completion, I think.
Wowzers.
I'm playing through Loco Roco 2 at the moment. Only problem I've got is if I want to play Loco Roco at the minute, I've got no room in any of my memory cards on my Vita to play it. So at some point, I'm going to have to get a new Vita card.
Exciting. I'd imagine they're probably quite cheap by now.
I hope so. But it's a shame it's like its own format, isn't it?
Yes. It really, really sucks.
Yeah. What's this? Akira Psycho Ball for the PS2 for £3.95.
Okay.
This is a pinball game.
Yes.
That my girlfriend Claire actually turned me on to because I'd forgotten about it. Totally forgotten about it. And she's big into Akira. So she was looking for Akira collectibles on eBay and she found this. And I thought, well, actually, that looks like a pretty darn good pinball game.
Yeah.
Because it's got a two-player as well. I thought, well, I'll pick that up at that price. So that's on a PS2. That sound good, Matt?
It does. Sounds good.
And I think that's everything I've purchased this last week. I was going to say it's a mixed bunch, but as you say, it's mostly Worms. Worms, Lemmings, Angry Birds, Pinball, Loco Roco.
What happened to you? You used to be cool, man. You used to be cool.
Well, I'm cool. Worms is cool.
Yeah, it is. I like Worms. I bought quite a few Game Boy games. Surprise, surprise. This last week, we went to a local town called Horsens yesterday, you and I. I took you to a shop I often frequent to buy some games. You ended up actually just buying vinyl, but I picked up quite a few things. I got a copy of the Rugrats the movie game for the Game Boy Color. Got a copy of Turok 2 for the Game Boy Color.
That's weird, isn't it?
Got a copy of... I've forgotten what the third game I bought was. Wow, that's interesting.
I can remember for
you.
Oh,
I can remember. Oh. It's a Sylvester and Tweety Breakfast on the Run. I forgot because the title is in French and therefore it has escaped my memory. It said Titty in it and Tom giggled at this.
This Turok game you bought.
Yeah.
Very peculiar. You start off in what seems to be present day, running down a street.
Yeah.
And there's no dinosaurs. There's no one really to kill.
It's kind of dinosaur people, like in the second bit of it. But
what's that all about?
Everyone's just people. And the aim of the game is not to like beat them up in like a Double Dragon side-scrolling beat 'em up. Just hit them. Like, that's it. Like, they hit them and they stop, but they don't die. So you can't do that. It's a really, really weird game. The Rugrats game's like a really janky platformer that I didn't play for more than 5 minutes because the controls were really, really awful. And the Sylvester and Tweety game seemed alright. Like there was weird chase sequences in it, much like in the Sunsoft Game Boy Game of Looney Tunes, but you were at Sylvester this time and not Tweety. Mm-hmm. And then you went into like an isometric view that a lot of Infogrames games do by bit managers. So yeah, it'll just be like D-Mouse or Autovanten if you've ever played either of those German exclusives. So, yeah, they just pretty much just like, oh, well, they'll go in the collection. I'll biograph them at some point. And
that's a term now, biograph.
Biograph.
In the dictionary.
Yes.
For Matt Boyle to review a Game Boy game is to
be biographed.
To be biographed.
Yeah. Bought some cracking PS1 games there, though.
Some crackers.
I picked up a copy of Resident Evil 2, my favourite entry into said franchise.
Why?
A game I have not owned on the PlayStation 1 for a very, very long time.
Why is it your favourite,
Matthew? I really like the story of Leon and Claire.
I like it too.
There's a lot of interesting characters in there, like the whole police station setup thing and exploring Raccoon City and like the start in the gun shop and that introduction where there's a zombie in the car and then it causes that huge fucking inferno.
More classic for me than one because I didn't play one.
I played.
Two was the first one I played.
I played one and I always thought the voice acting was really bad even as a kid and I didn't really play that much. That and it was really fucking hard. I didn't really appreciate Resident Evil 1 until I played Director's Cut, which came out a few years after Resident Evil 1 did. And also when I, well, more so really when I played the Resi make on the GameCube, Resident Evil 1, the new fancy version with crazy visuals for a GameCube. Yeah, so I picked that up. I picked up a game called...
Gary Barlow's Extreme Quad Bikes.
Not quite. Oh, God, what's it called? Something Crisis.
Incredible.
Incredible Crisis, thank you very much. My memory escapes me this day. Which, as you described to me, was you are a Japanese businessman and you play a lot of crazy minigames, and so I'll pick that up, I thought to myself, as it was three for two.
It's a PS1 classic.
It is. And I also got the PlayStation 1 port of Space Station Silicon Valley, and the name of that escapes me in the moment. It's like Bits Space Adventure.
Evo's Space Adventure.
Thank you very much, Tom.
It was only yesterday, Matthew.
It was only yesterday, but some more exciting purchases have happened since then. And, well, I picked up a cooking thing for the DS as well, which went straight to the side, but it was 20 kroner, so I thought, I'll pick that up and have a look at it. But I bought some Puzzle and Dragons, which is the game I spent most of my day yesterday playing between rendering. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Puzzle and Dragons was originally a puzzle game meets a Pokemon meets an RPG thing on the mobile phones. It was very big in Japan. It was very also big in America, I believe, when it launched there. A pretty straightforward concept. You match three things in a row, and then depending on the color and the things in your squad, you attack enemies, and you just have to clear a couple of enemies, and then you win. There's a proper RPG of it on the 3DS version, which is the version I have. And this 3DS version is quite different from the phone, because from what I understand, even though you're progressing through levels on the phone, there's no story tying it together. Okay. So Nintendo have actually made it into an RPG, least a light RPG for the console version. And
not going to appeal to everybody.
Well, I believe you kind of like it. That's why I kind of brought it over. But then there is also Puzzle and Dragons Super Mario Brothers, which is what I've mostly been playing. I completed the first world on that.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine on the top screen you will have an enemy floating around, much like you would in, say, a Dragon Warrior Monsters or a Japanese role-playing game of that ilk. So it'll be the character and then health bar under them on the bottom screen. No, because your character isn't facing them. It's just them, as if they've come onto you in a dungeon. And on the bottom screen, then, you have a selection of, I believe it's 5x6 row of these different icons. And you have to match three of them in one go. So if I had Mario, who's a red color, and I'm actually red, Mario will then attack for that. Obviously, if you get bigger combos, such as four of them, then the damage will increase. If you get five, it'll attack every single enemy. It's very straightforward. It's very addictive. It's very fun. It's one of these games you can easily quite pick up and play, and it doesn't really involve too much strategy. It's more about luck of the tiles, I guess, and being able to spot these big combos.
Wicked cool.
Yeah, man. So I was going to play a little bit more of that, but I ended up not doing that in the end because, well, I went to an arcade last Thursday. I don't know if I remember that I mentioned this on last week's podcast, that I was planning on going to an arcade in Copenhagen called Chassis Arcade, which, if you are in Copenhagen, I really recommend you check out, because I was there for a whole hour and I could have stayed there for about 5 or 6 if I really wanted to.
You're only there for an hour.
I was only there for an hour. I played a bit of Bubble Bobble, which is what I do when I'm in an arcade. I immediately find the machine that has Bubble Bobble on it and I play that. Played a bit of Waku Waku 7 as well, a brief match of that against the computer, because then the Wonder Boy machine freed up and I thought, well, you know, I played through Adventure Island recently. I quite like that. I hated Wonder Boy in the Mass System, but let's give the score. And lo and behold, Tom, I actually really, really enjoyed the arcade version of Wonder Boy.
I have played it myself and enjoyed it.
It was pretty fun. I even got the top score on the leaderboard, which wasn't very hard. I admit, I got it after like 2 or 3 tries, so I guess Wonder Boy isn't really a popular cabinet there. But I played Wonder Boy and I was really enjoying it. And then I kind of come away with that thinking, oh God, I'm going to get an arcade cabinet. And I was browsing Facebook last evening, as one does sometimes when one's not paying attention to the Eurovision. And I stumbled across a very nice looking arcade cabinet from a Swedish company. And I'm in the process of maybe picking that up. I won't say how much it is because it's quite expensive. But it's got a 618 slot MAME jammer board in it. That's not right. It's just got 118 game jammer board, not slot, or is nothing to do with MAME. I apologize. And it's got every game I would ever want in an arcade machine.
It's got a lot of the fighting games, I noticed.
It has a lot of the fighting games. It has all of the Metal Slugs. It has Bubble Bobble, has Puzzle Bobble, has generally every Neo Geo and otherwise arcadey arcade game I would ever want in an arcade machine.
So it sounds perfect.
It does.
And also, it looks rather nice.
It looks amazing. I will show people when it's done and give a link to the thing. But yeah, I'm in the process of talks.
You're negotiating
how much it will cost to get to Denmark and all of this other stuff, and whether I can afford it when I should be buying other things in my apartment. But we'll see. But I am quite set on the idea of having a jammer arcade cabinet now.
I'd love one too, but I wouldn't be willing to spend a lot.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have, actually, in a way, I'd rather just have a classic one that was that, like, out of a pub or something.
Yeah, and I'd looked into it, but in terms of space, in terms of weight, in terms of transportation, it was not worth the hassle. And unfortunately, with a lot of old classic arcade machines, I even chatted to the guy in Chassis Arcade about perhaps how much they would sell them for because they refurbished them.
Yeah.
The amount of effort and time it would take to get something from as far away as Copenhagen, which is only even a 2.5-hour drive, would be colossal, and it weighs a ton, and getting it into my apartment would be a massive pain in the ass. And then the maintenance is very high on them. At least with the Jammer arcade cabinet, it is a modern component. It is something that has been worked on for a long time. They are effective in what they do. And this cabinet is very nice. It's only 120 centimetres tall when you have the screen folded down, because the screen folds into the top of the thing.
Which is quite unique.
It is. It's also got a very nice like space deco on it, like of actual ingrained wood with like LEDs and a coin slot and stuff. And so I think I'm going to pick it up. It looks nice. It is something then that I have a two-player arcade machine of every game anyone would ever want to play in my apartment. And then it also has the added benefit of when I don't really want to look at an arcade cabinet, I can just fold the screen down and turn the thing off.
And so have a kind of greenish wooden monolith or, with a nice design on it.
Or I can have a black one or a white one. There are different colour options.
I like the greenish one.
I like the greenish one, but I think I'm going to get the white and pine one.
To match shelves.
To match the house, yeah.
Very nice. You've thought it all out, Matthew.
I have, except the price. Price is still the deciding factor for me at the moment.
I thought of something today that I quite fancy idea getting a Retron 5.
Yeah, I've been toying around with the idea as well.
Yeah, about 130 quid, just under, and I get shipped here to Denmark for 12 quid. I thought it'd be nice to have it hooked up to the old HD TV, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
and then make room, put the consoles away. Yeah, I just think it looks like a very user-friendly thing for me to.
It does.
I'd be more inclined to play retro games if I was sitting on the sofa on the HDTV playing them.
And that's my gripe at the moment.
And save states.
Yes.
Would help me a lot, because I'm quite a casual gamer. I'm not someone who sits there for hours playing video games.
Well, you know,
as much as I enjoy them.
My experience of playing the Castlevania Adventure for the Game Boy was what made me kind of consider buying a Retron 5.
Yeah, it would help you out with your boy graphic videos quite
it would,
considerably.
Because I could play and then go, hey, I'm really stuck on this bit, save state, and come back to it
upscaled
later.
Upscaled in HD?
Yes, exactly.
Does what a HDMI boy does?
Nah, but there's the thing. What I've heard bad about the Retron 5, and this is in isolated incidents, admittedly, is that the cartridge slots have a very high tolerance.
They're very tight.
So they can either be very loose, meaning the game doesn't sit in properly, and then can sometimes, like, slightest little knock will knock the cartridge out, and then, you know, you'll have to start the game all over again.
Okay.
Or you can have cases where the cartridge slot is too tight, and then you pop the cartridge in, and then it will destroy the cartridge as you pull it out. Weirdly, though, like the cartridge doesn't even really need to be in. It's just a safe. It's all emulated on the thing.
It downloads
anyway.
The ROM to the console. Yeah,
it does. But yeah, we'll see. And things like Gimmick and things like Star Fox, things that use chips on board the actual card. Shouldn't
they do?
Do they work now?
Yeah. Well, they worked when it, the first firmware, because Pat the Nespunk reviewed it, and Star Fox runs no problem.
Okay.
And a lot of and most Super Nintendo games which use chips
are running on it now. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. With the PAL version, can you use American games?
Yes.
Okay. I may definitely get one then. I think. I was going to get an upscaler. I've been toying with the idea of buying a FrameMeister, which is a Japanese device that converts everything into HD for you. Okay. So I could use my original consoles. Because I purchased two games for my NES yesterday, Thomas.
What?
In a surprise turnaround.
When did you do that?
When I came home I looked on the internet on a Danish website.
Which one?
Boz.dk, which is a website that can be quite pricey, but I use it from time to time. And someone had traded in their entire Nintendo collection.
No.
And so all of these games were then listed. Some very pricey titles in there. There's some games I want, such as Mega Man 4, which is the only one on the NES I don't have, that other than 5, because 5's a pricey one as well. And that was 500 kroner. And I kind of thought, well, 50 quid. I don't really want to pay 50 quid for Mega Man 4. I've got it on the Super Famicom. I'm probably going to get a Famicom. There's no real point. However, they did have Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
They did.
For the very reasonable price of 170 kroner. And they also had Journey to Silius, which is a game I've wanted for a very, very fucking long time. It's by Sunsoft. It's a side-scrolling shooter set in like a futuristic world with a cracking soundtrack and amazing visuals. And there's a slight bit of damage on the top label, so it was also 170 kroner. So I thought, I actually really want Journey to Silius. Anytime I see a cartridge on eBay, it's going for about 40, 50 quid. Mm. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
So I did. And I will play both of them. I've told you that I have a bucket list of gaming in my head that I want to do. Beating Mike Tyson's Punch Out is one of them. So
you've got plenty more years in you yet, man.
I have, Tom. Fortunately. I hope so, anyway. Touch wood.
Yeah, well, I really like the idea of having a Retron 5 and having a... I have a reasonably small collection of games here now in Denmark, actually, NES and Super Nintendo. But I think it's quite nice that way that I'm not... There's not too many. When you only have a few games at your disposal, you play them.
You do.
It's difficult when I'm back in the UK, actually, because that's so many games to play. I don't know what to play. Here in Denmark, I just bring over the latest stuff I've got. And I just have that to pick from, so I'd be more inclined, I think, to finish them, especially with the save state. So I'm really thinking about it at the minute.
That's fair enough. I'm kind of like, I hear this phrase tossed around a lot of a pile of shame, i.e. the games you've bought but haven't played.
Pile of shame?
Yeah, pile of shame, as in like your
backlog. Oh, your shame.
Yeah. As in like
not that the games are bad.
No. Your pile of shame is in like the pile of games you've bought and they're not played. And then subsequently bought more games, and then that pile's grown bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, there are a lot of Game Boy games that I haven't completed. Like, I've played every one of them, I think. Like,
you are in there as much for the playing as the completionist aspect,
yes,
aren't you?
I am.
It would seem.
So, that's why I decided to make the YouTube channel, because that's what interests me. That the idea of limited teams, small budget, limited hardware capabilities, and then the creative output of that. Like, obviously sometimes there are terrible games. I find it weird whenever I buy a Game Boy Color game, because it's very potluck whether it's going to be good or not. Whereas on the Game Boy,
I think... Different era, wasn't it?
Every 1 out of 10 games is bad.
Yeah.
When you could reason that if it's like 1 in 10, that would mean 46 out of the whole library are bad games. I would say. And
well, you could think about... At the time when Game Boy Color games being developed, 2D games weren't really being made on the big consoles.
No, they weren't.
So that's quite interesting to think
about. It was also a graphical limitation. It was still, it had a better processor than the Game Boy did, but it also did the use of color. I mean, obviously, some people use this to great effect. Look at Capcom Shantae. It's a fucking breathtaking game for an 8-bit console. It's pretty insane that they managed to do that with the Game Boy Color. You got Rayman on the Game Boy Color, which is pretty good too. There are several other games on the Game Boy Color that I can't think of off the top of my head. But take my word for it, there are some very, very good games on the Game Boy Color.
Nintendo's output, for example, and how Capcom handled the Zelda games.
I was going to say the Zelda games are fantastic. Even Link's Awakening DX does some new and interesting things. But generally, if you're going to a flea market, if you're going to a thrift store, if you're going somewhere that sells second-hand games, be aware when you buy Game Boy Color games that even if it is a licensed title, even if it is something that you go, hey, I like that show, the game's probably not going to be very good unless you already heard about it. I don't think there are that many hidden gems on the Game Boy Color. The Moomin's game for the Game Boy Color is supposed to be particularly good. There's a very nice port of Super Ghosts and Goblins. There's a great selection of Zelda titles, as Tom's just said. If you're in the States and listen to this, you can play Shantae if you're lucky enough to come across a cart. If you're in Japan, you can play Magical Chase.
Oh, Kirby's Tilt and Tumble.
Kirby's Tilt and Tumble. Pokemon, the trading card game.
Yeah, great game. Pokemon Pinball.
Pokemon Crystal, obviously, as well. There are good games for the Game Boy Color. However, the quality ratio is a lot more down compared to the Game Boy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Well, there we are. Be beware when buying Game Boy Color games. Do your research first.
Yes.
Unlike Matthew Boyle.
Well,
he's just buying them anyway. So.
I'm just buying them anyway. Exactly. That's the thing.
Matt Boyle will learn the hard way. So
I will.
You don't have to put up with these shoddy titles.
Indeed.
So, been playing a few games this last week.
Oh, really?
I have indeed. I actually had a couple of evenings of games playing with friends. I had a friend over, Danish friend, Anas. He's big into racing.
Yes.
He drives a rally car.
Yes, he does.
He's done with his brother. He's fixed up. And so I thought, let's play some racing games. You know, after we got Worms out of the way, because we always play Worms.
Did you play some racy games like Mind Your Friends?
No. but we did play Worms, which is great, and could, you know, sexual innuendos aside, you know, it was a very enjoyable experience. Also, we were looking at what racing games we could play on the PS3, and we went through a few, like Need for Speed Shift was one of them that we tried out but couldn't play. Colin McRae Rally Dirt couldn't play, all because no split screen.
Yeah.
Need for Speed, is it Hot Pursuit? Yeah, no split screen. I'm starting to get quite infuriated with this no split screen. Split screen malarkey. Then we went to Motorstorm Apocalypse, which thankfully had some split screen.
That's good.
And so did Ridge Racer Type 4 on the PS1, which I downloaded.
Oh, nice.
One of my favourites. Can't go wrong with it.
Haven't you got that on the PS1 here?
Not here.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
I got it for... I downloaded the digital version so I could play it on the PSP.
Ah, I see.
Because it's one of my all-time favourite games. But it really disappoints me how there's not a lot of split-screen games. Now, I'm pretty sure that Gran Turismo 5 is... But at the time, I thought I'd have to install everything to play it. But I realised this morning, as I played it, for a good couple of hours actually, that everything that was mandatory install was already installed.
It just gives
you the optional 8GB install if you want to speed up the loading times.
Yeah.
Which didn't really bother me too much.
No.
Great game. I'm really enjoying playing it again. Bit bewildered at first, you know, with what cars I could use for what cups and such, what races... But I was starting to get used to it after a while. But what does irritate me a little bit is if your car is of the right manufacturer, that's enough to enter you into, say, the Japanese manufacturer cup.
Yeah.
It doesn't factor in that your car's slower than all the other cars available. So you can enter it and do the race, but you're going to lose. There's no way you can catch it with the rest of them. You can, though, see what stats the car has. The rivals have before you enter the race. But the thing with that is you can't go for stuff like BHP, brake horsepower, because that doesn't seem to have any effect. I don't know cars very well, but that was a bit frustrating for me. Anyway, great game. I always found it very relaxing playing that one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was a little bit hungover this morning, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I think I drank a total of 3 beers last night.
Keg shandies, of course.
No, not at all. Carlsberg.
Ooh.
Last night. And yeah, it really hit me for 6.
Getting old, mate.
So this morning I was up around about 9, to be fair, and relaxing with a bit of casual Gran Turismo.
Casual Gran Turismo.
Rather nice. But yeah, split screen racing games, more of them please, because I know Project Cars isn't split screen.
No, that's a shame.
Very, very disappointing. Played a bit of Shadow Warrior early in the week. This is the PS4 remake of an old PC game by 3D Realms.
So I just saw you play the original.
On Steam, believe it or not. Yes, you can download it for free on Steam, at least the shareware version.
Yes.
Yeah, there's an upgraded version you can purchase for quite a reasonable price. Shadow Warrior is kind of like, I describe it as, if Mortal Kombat was a first-person shooter.
Yeah. Okay, that's a pretty apt description.
Because it's got that kind of Asian setting, it's got swords, it's got demons, it's a lot of fun, doesn't take itself seriously. It's an old-school shooter.
The main character's name, at least in the PC shareware version you were just playing, was called Wang.
Lo Wang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it said at the end when you wanted to...
Well, go on.
I was going to say, do you want some more Wang, it said.
You'd love the introduction to the PS4 version because he's driving to a destination to buy a sword off someone.
Okay.
And he's in his car and he's got the radio on and he's listening to, you got the touch.
Really?
You got the power. Yeah, and he's singing along to
what
it.
What the
and
fuck?
It's a very cool introduction to the game. It kind of establishes a sense of humour and of it, yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to buy that game just because he sings to the touch. Oh my God.
It's pretty fun. I haven't spent a lot of time with it, but it was a very cheap title. I think it cost me about 13 quid.
Yes.
For a PS4 game. Title. Not bad. We had an evening of Mortal Kombat last night. I had a few friends over here and it was a blokey night. We got a takeaway. Had a few beers. Hey,
say no more, mate. Say no more.
Say no more. We watched the movie with Christopher Lambert going, a lot.
Yes, he does.
Quite sarcastically. It's an all right movie. It certainly does what it needs to.
It does.
And it's still considered one of the better video game movies. A lot of people on IMDb were giving it 10 out of 10.
Give us the cracking Mortal Kombat!
Everyone loved that.
Of course.
But it's not a great movie.
No, it isn't.
It's actually decidedly average movie.
Do you reckon you can get that on like a 12-inch single? Do you reckon you just get the Mortal Kombat logo for your wall?
Yeah, that would be great. Picture disc.
Why don't you own that? Get on it.
The thing is, I'm not a huge Mortal Kombat fan.
What?
You know I like fighting games, Matthew.
You do?
But I'm more in the Street Fighter Soul Calibur camp.
If we're talking like the Blur and Oasis of Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat, I'm
Street Fighter.
I'm the Liverpool of Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't class Soul Calibur in there. Soul Calibur's not a very good game either.
What?
I fucking hate Soul Calibur.
I'm not going to dignify that with a response because it's the greatest 3D fighting game ever
made. I'm baiting you.
It's not
Zero Divide. Stop it.
Oh, shush. Mortal Kombat, especially the new one, is a lot of fun. Actually, we went back and played the last one, which a few of the people had over. They hadn't played before.
No.
And in fact, everyone was enjoying that just as much as the new one, which says a lot. But actually, having played them back to back like this, there are significant improvements in the new one.
Yes, because you were trying to sell me the old yarn that, there's not much change.
Well, I didn't quite, on the face of it, in terms of enjoyment of the game and what I get out of playing it, no. I don't get anything more out of playing the new one than I do the old one. But I can appreciate the visual clarity, fidelity. Oh, I'm trying to be fancy now in my words.
Ooh.
Words of the, I like the new characters and new moves. It feels a little bit more, like the classic Mortal Kombat, a little bit more, it's definitely edgier, it's got a
gritty,
darker atmosphere, but even that extends to the actual way it plays and the way the characters move, flows a lot more in the last Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It feels very light. I mean, you'd either like that or not like it, but everyone here last night really enjoyed the last one.
Anyone say toasty?
No one said toasty.
Then it's a failure.
But I did like the character the old one had because it was more in line, the brightly coloredness, the kind of campness of Mortal Kombat, which
is
all but gone in the new one.
I would imagine it would be. It looks like a very serious game.
It's Visually, yes. But some of the story aspects and characters, like Johnny Cage and fatalities, are humorous as well. Yeah. It's still got the Mortal Kombat character, but it's kind of gone a little bit grittier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so having a great time with both those games last night.
Cool.
And also, in a little break, we played a bit of Capcom vs. SNK2 and Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah.
That was while Georgia and Marty went out to get some snacks.
Yeah.
Me and Casper, the superhero fan, played a bit of that, and that, we were enjoying it rather a lot.
That arcade machine's got Capcom versus SNK on it.
Capcom versus SNK?
Yeah.
Has it got Marvel versus Capcom?
I'm not sure. It may do.
Is it Capcom versus SNK 2?
I believe it's the first from what I saw. Oof. It may also be
not
the second.
Bad, but
it's got King of Titus 2000. What more can you possibly want? It also has Street Fighter 2 in all its shapes and forms.
But fighting games...
Anyway, it's got Waku Waku 7. Who gives a fuck about any of the fighting games? It's the best 2D fighter I ever made.
Yeah, it also got some exclusives, I noticed. Like, what's that game? Punisher.
Yes.
By Konami.
Yes.
Some of those Konami side-scrolling games like Aliens.
Yes, Dungeons and Dragons is also on there.
But the thing about Punisher and Aliens is they're not available on consoles, whereas Dungeons and Dragons is.
Now it is, yes.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's got some good games on it, that setup. Like I said, Waku Waku 7. I'm going to just play Bubble Bobble every fucking day. It's going to be my thing. As soon as I come home from work, I'm going to make a cup of tea and I'm going to play Bubble Bobble. It's going to be how I live my life from now on.
Well, I guess it's going to be a lot more easier just to walk over to a cabinet and play a game like that than it is to sit down, turn your console on and find the game that you want.
It's just like, select screen, Waku Waku 7, let's have some of that. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, God, I can even, like, learn combos. Oh, God, I can't wait.
Well, I'm it seems that you're pretty set on it.
You can come over, it's all right. You know, I'm not that far from the bus stop. Come over, grab a cup of coffee. Play some King of Fighters in an arcade cabinet.
You mean you would play King of Fighters, wouldn't you?
I would play King of Fighters with you. I get good at it.
We haven't done that for ages.
Arcade cabinet.
Yeah. Street Fighter 2.
Learn juggle.
You throw Zangief out at
me. Oh, God. Can you imagine on an arcade sick how fucking easy that Cyclone would be? Oh, tingling. Right, okay.
So what have you played, Matthew?
What have I played? Well, I've kind of talked about what I've played, to be honest, Thomas. I haven't really played that much. I completed Mega Man 5.
And a very good board graphic, may I add.
Thank you very much. Took a lot of work, a lot to talk about with the Mega Man series. So much so, I'm thinking of doing like a short video for next week that is just kind of like a summary of the Mega Man games. Mm. I don't know, personally, would you find any worth in that? Like, I don't know, just kind of like, hey, these are the hard bosses. This is the best bit about these games. This is the worst bit about these games.
I think you've been quite comprehensive already.
I think I have. I think I'm just going to do, like I said on last week's podcast, Akiba, I think the name of the game was. Japanese puzzle game. And then Ghostbusters. Probably be the next two biographics. But I played Mega Man 5. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I enjoyed it as much as 4, I will say. It was a very pricey title.
I thought you said it was your favourite in the video.
No, like, I don't know. I'm torn, honestly. Like, I don't know if I prefer 4 or 5. Gameplay-wise, probably 5, but the music in 4 is so fucking good that I don't know if I can separate the music in 5 from the gameplay. It's not as upbeat. It doesn't do the same jumpy, jaunty feeling that this game has. It's a bit of a shame. I played some Puzzle and Dragons, as I mentioned. I just played... my girlfriend's parents have come over to stay with us for 2 days before we go on our vacation. And they brought 3 games with them that I'd purchased a couple of weeks ago. Super Off-Road, which plays very much like the NES title. It's a kind of a side-on view, top-down racing game. Not as good as the NES version, I must admit, but it was pretty okay. Mm-hmm. I played The Adventures of Star Saver, which is a great game. I previously mentioned on the podcast Max, which is the second game in this series. Pretty good. It's called Rubble Saver in Japan, but the Japanese carts are quite expensive. It's quite an elusive game over there, as it is up here, but you can pick up a cart for about 15 quid. I got mine for €2, so I was pretty fucking happy with that. Played it, side-scrolling shooter, you're in a giant mech, but when you get hit, you then become a boy who's faster and can jump higher, but obviously one hit then and you die compared to the robot. And then I played a bit of Boomer and Azamax World. I believe I may have mentioned that I played the sequel to this and kind of compared it to like Pipe Dreams, where you build in a road. First game, nothing like that at all. Okay. Kind of plays a bit like a... It's a kind of a mashup of a maze game and a dungeon crawler. So it the nearest gameplay experience I can kind of relate it to in terms of Game Boy games is Spud's Adventure, for those of you who've played that Rare Atlas title. But for you, Tom, I would say it's kind of like Pac-Man, but with keys. Like you're running around a maze where there are enemies that can kill you. You can't really defend yourself. You can hold A and dig a trap, which traps them in the thing, and then one of them will drop a key. So you have to be very strategic in doing that, and then you have to get them to drop the key, and then you have to make it to the exit. So I guess it's also kind of got a bit of a Rodland, get the key, get to the exit thing, that but it's not a trickle. Not a maze game.
Rodland.
Kind of also looked a bit like Devil World from what I've seen of that Nintendo game, the Shigeru Miyamoto game that never saw the light of day outside of Japan and Europe.
On the eShop.
Yeah, I don't know if the States ever got it. I don't even know if it's on the eShop in the States, but I know we got it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's been a pretty slow gaming week. There's been a lot to do, a lot to see. Yeah, like I said, played Wonder Boy in an arcade, played Bubble Bobble, played Waku Waku 7, yeah, etc.
I want to play RCD Go.
Oh, you actually won it now? Now that you left it in the fucking shop? You want to play it?
I bet I can get it quite cheap on eBay.
Have a look. Bet it would probably be more expensive than what that shop wanted for it.
I don't think so. That shop wanted 80 krona.
They did want 80 krona for it, but I would imagine they've probably checked the price, because that game definitely wasn't there last time I was there.
Well, I'm going to go back a couple of weeks with my girlfriend when she comes and visits.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I may just pick it up if it's still there. But what it is, RCD Go, I'm just looking at a video of it right now. It's a Micro Machines type top-down racer. Well, I say top-down. It's not quite. It's all 3D rendered.
It's got like a isometric kind of perspective.
Think the 3D Micro Machines game, like V3, I think is probably the closest comparison. Or something like recent, like Toy Box Turbos.
Or Super Off-Road also has this same perspective.
But with RC cars, which is quite a novel idea. Actually, the most
RC Pro-Am.
Obvious one, actually, is Motorstorm RC.
Yeah? Is it Motorstorm RC game?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it looks great, actually. It's really nice. It's a PS1 game.
It does. Should have bought it.
Ah, well.
No mind. You live and learn. Jinx! Right, until next week, everybody, you can find us on facebook.com/TomAmAtAttack, where you should give us a cheeky like, cheeky Nando's. You can, have you not seen this internet phenomenon of cheeky Nando's? I'll show you afterwards, I'm sure podcast listeners will know.
Cheeky on the internet.
Yeah.
Cheeky Nando's pops up.
Cheeky Nando's will come up, yeah. And Americans are confused.
Because I was searching cheeky earlier.
Yeah. Were you looking for pictures of the cheeky girls and you just got two pictures of Nando's? You can find us on tomandmattattack.com/podcast, where you can listen to this podcast. You can also do that on blastprocess.com and in iTunes. When you're in Tiny Toons Adventures, come and join the fun by giving us a cheeky rate and subscribe, and then you can download our podcast and share it with other people.
I'd actually type in cheeky rate and subscribe, see if I could find a picture of you.
Really? Oh, I wish it came up. So until next time, guys, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. And there won't be a podcast next week or the week after. There'll be a 2-week break, and then we will have our 100th episode, where I'm sure we can come up with something special. Yeah. Right. Until then, guys.
Actually, send us a suggestion. Is there anything you'd really like to see in our 100th episode?
Yeah, let us know.
100th episode, let us know.
100th episode, let us know. Until then, game on.